Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Continuing as we are in our study in Romans chapter 4 and lessons from the life of Abraham, we have come to the last few verses of the chapter, and we are particularly focusing on verses 19 through 22, in which we are learning about Abraham's exemplary faith, how Abraham exhibited strong faith, how Abraham developed strong faith, and most importantly, how Abraham was justified by his faith. Now, there are five steps that are indicated to us in verses 19 through 21 regarding how Abraham developed strong faith, four of which we have now covered, and I will simply restate them. Number one, Abraham refused to dwell on contradicting circumstances. Number two, Abraham did not waver between competing realities. Third, Abraham refused to question God's wisdom and power. Number four, Abraham continually focused on the primary purpose of life, which, as you remember in verse 20, is to bring glory to God. And then number five for today, Abraham gratefully received the help which he required. Verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Being fully convinced. Now, as we quickly glide over those words, our first thought might be to focus upon Abraham, as if somehow Abraham convinced himself of this. But a more careful study of the exact words that are used points the spotlight in another direction. Abraham was convinced by someone or something else. The New American Standard says, and being fully assured. Someone or something went to work in Abraham's heart to assure him, to convince him that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. What are you getting at? I'm simply suggesting to you that Abraham received divine aid. Abraham received help from God. Abraham had his faith strengthened by God. Now, Abraham certainly exercised and developed the faith which he received, but it is important to understand that Abraham looked to God for divine aid to help him believe when his faith was wavering, and God, ever faithful, ever gracious, supplied exactly what Abraham needed, and Abraham humbly and gratefully received help from God. So Abraham gratefully received the help which he required, and that's the fifth step in the development of Abraham's strong faith. And dear friends, it's the same with you and me. If we are going to exercise faith in the Word of God, we are going to need divine aid. Faith is not something which you manufacture. Faith is not something which you come up with all on your own. Faith is not something which you exercise without divine help. It is certainly something that you exercise. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying and think that I'm saying that we are totally passive in this. We are not. We exercise faith, and we must exercise it. We must believe actively the promises of God. We must sometimes take ourselves by the collar, so to speak, and give ourselves a stern lecture to remind us of how important it is to exercise faith in the Word of God, to believe God, to believe what God has spoken. But, dear friends, we will never do this apart from divine help. And until we realize that, we are doomed to failure. Because if we think we can do this totally upon our own, we will fail. How can we help but fail if we don't recognize the need for help, if we don't gratefully receive the help which God Himself supplies? And so how did Abraham develop such strong faith? Well, all of the things that we have been saying in these five steps, but particularly his willingness to look to God for help and his eagerness to receive the help which God so graciously supplies. And I may be talking to someone today who needs to look to God for help. Do you remember the man in the Bible who said to Christ, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief"? Doesn't that reflect your experience? It certainly does mine. Lord, I believe. I believe you. I trust you. I believe your word. And yet, oh Lord, my faith is not as strong as it ought to be. And I feel weakness in my faith. And there are times when I am wavering. And Lord, I believe and I want to believe and I do believe. But oh Lord, I need help to believe as I should. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And in praying that way, we can expect to receive divine help, and then, of course, to exercise the faith which God has given, which God has strengthened, which God has helped us with. And that's exactly what Abraham did, and that's what I have done on many occasions, and which I am doing continually, and that is what I urgently recommend to you. But now we come finally to how Abraham was justified by his faith, because we come in verse 22 to this word, "And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." Back to verse 21, "And being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." So what brought Abraham to a state of being justified before God? To be justified before God means to be declared righteous in the records of the judge of the universe. All of us are going to stand before God someday, and we are going to be judged. We are going to give an account. And I can tell you right now, dear friends, how that's going to turn out. You say, "Oh no, I've got to wait and see. I've got to get there and find out. I've got to find out if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds and how God is going to evaluate things before I will learn the verdict." No, I can tell you the verdict right now. And the Bible tells us what it is. And there's only two possible verdicts: guilty or justified. And how do you know which one will be yours? Very simple. If you are standing before God, depending upon your own righteousness, the verdict will be guilty. It always is. It always must be. Because nobody is able to meet God's requirements. God's standard is perfection. It's not if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. The standard that is necessary to be justified before God on your own strength is that you have no bad deeds, no sins, no failures. That your life has been a life of perfect obedience, perfect righteousness, from the beginning until the end. And unless that is your case, and I can assure you, dear friend, that it is not, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not one. So unless that is your case, and it certainly is not, then there's only one possible verdict for you, and that verdict is guilty. Guilty as charged. You have sinned. You have failed to live up to the standard which God has required of you as one of His human creatures. But there is another verdict, and that is for all who have recognized their own sin and inability to keep God's standard, and have trusted only in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, they have believed that the person and work of Jesus Christ was accomplished for their sins, for my sins, and I will trust in Him, and I will therefore be justified before God, because God takes Christ's righteousness and applies that to my account. He takes my sins, and He applies that to Christ's account. And Christ has already paid the penalty. And then He takes Christ's perfect righteousness and He applies that to my account. And that transaction is what we call justification. And justification is by faith. And Abraham was justified by faith. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, that's faith. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4:22. So what did Abraham believe? He believed that he needed a divine salvation, a salvation which he himself could not secure. He believed that God had promised that salvation, had promised it to him. And he believed that God was able to perform whatever he promised. And if God had promised to provide such a salvation for Abraham, sinner as he was, he recognized that he was a sinner as he was, liar as he was, weak man as he was, nevertheless, God had promised to provide the necessary righteousness for Abraham's justification, and Abraham believed God, that God was able to perform that which he had promised. In other words, Abraham believed that God would send a Messiah who would righteously carry out a vicarious sacrifice that would be applied to the believing sinner's account. And Abraham believed that, and God counted it to him for righteousness, and that's how he was justified. Now that's how Abraham was justified by his faith. How about you? What do you need to believe for salvation? Well, you must first come to terms with your need. You must come to terms with your true sinful condition, that you are a sinner before God, deserving of condemnation. Secondly, you must believe the testimony of God's provision in Christ, that God has provided for sinners salvation through the substitutionary death of His Son. And furthermore, you must believe that whatever God has promised, He is fully able to perform. No matter the greatness of your sin and guilt, no matter the seeming unsuitability of your candidacy for divine election, no matter the weakness and frailty that yet remains within you, nevertheless, you must believe that what God has promised, God is able to perform. God has promised to save sinners who come to Christ in faith, believing in Christ and Christ alone for their justification. And if you will believe that what God has promised, He will do. What God has promised, He is able to do. What God has promised, He is fully capable of doing in your case, as in the case of any and every sinner who comes to Him by faith. And dear friend, if you will believe that, you, like Abraham, will be justified. You will be declared righteous before the judgment bar of God. The verdict upon your life will be not guilty, righteous as Christ Himself. May that be your case. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.